The Last Word with Matt Cooper. Today
FM. Now, it's sunny. It's raining. It's sunny. It's raining. It's windy. It's overcast. The sun has come out again. There's sleet. Oh my God, the weather is so unreliable lately. But the moment the sun peeks through the clouds, the urge to fire up the grill and invite friends over for a barbecue seems very overwhelming indeed. If you're tight for time or even inspiration in those situations, Russell Alford, co-restaurant critic at the Sunday Times Ireland and host of Dublin Delish on 98FM, joins me now. Russell, how are you?
Very good. Loving this weather, I guess, whatever it is.
Some tips and tricks, Russell. Are you, first of all, a barbecue fan yourself?
I love a barbecue. At one point in my life, I had five all at once.
Yeah.
Various different uses, different sizes, different techniques. You know, there's egg barbecues, you know, those beautiful ceramic ones. There's the standard kettle grills just for charcoal. Gas for when you want something quickly, smokers, all the different things. So yes, bit of a fan.
Right, it's last chance saloon now. So, I mean, Irish people being what they are, I mean, if the sun is coming out for half an hour, they're going to go, there's a bit of a chance of a barbecue here.
Exactly.
I think I'll go for it now. So what are we looking at? Well, I mean, give us something, you know, you could do.
Okay, so sometimes I think people, when they think of barbecues, they instantly go into this mind frame of the slow roast, the beautiful joints of beef, such as like a brisket, which take, you know, a good 10 hours to make. We need to be thinking express. We need to be thinking quick. You know, it's evening. You're possibly popping down to the supermarket right now and you're thinking, I'm going to put something on in the next 2-3 hours. So think smart about it. Don't try and reinvent the wheel. Look at the practical stuff. For example, your craft butchers and your fishmongers. They take so much of the work away from you for so many reasons. I went to a local butcher's recently and there is nothing but arrays of skewers of various different toppings and flavours going on there. So, you know, chicken thighs, chicken breasts, all skewered on with lots of satay, sweet chilli, all those different things. All that kind of stuff works so, so well when you are barbecuing in a hurry and in a kind of quick kind of state. Fishmongers, some of them do the most beautiful sauces that go on top of prawns, so like your sweet chilies in particular. The local one to me did a gorgeous, really fiery, garlicky one as well. Almost pure garlic as a sauce on top of prawns. When you grill them, the flavour is sensational.
Yeah. Now, years ago, I got one of these Weber barbecues, right? I think I won the lottery or something. And because it's such an amazing barbecue, I don't feel you know, up to the task because it sits out there like a monolith.
Yeah.
And you're going, God almighty, it's just intimidating. So what are we looking at? I mean, should we invest in a good barbecue or gas or charcoal or maybe just a takeaway barbecue, simple one from the supermarket? Do they make things taste just as good?
So those little disposable ones I avoid like the plague. I tend to find often the flavour sometimes, the cheaper that they are, they can often impact the flavour of it, of the food that you're cooking with. You get that kind of artificial smoky flavour. Right. As a starter, think of how often you may use the barbecue in the first instance. So a charcoal barbecue, the Weber kettles as they're often called, obviously other brands are available. You can get various different ones in supermarkets and the likes. They are fantastic if you have that interest in charcoal grilling. So these are ones where you get, ideally you'd get a starter chimney. So this is a metal contraption where you stuff some newspapers at the very base, put your charcoals in, light it, and it heats up the coals to a beautiful, perfect temperature for you to start grilling. There's a bit of technique when it comes to charcoal grilling about regulation of temperature, airflow, getting things right. It takes a bit of trial and error. I started barbecuing, I'd say, about 7-8 years ago. And at that time, I was dreadful at it. But I learned, I persevered, and I got to a very good level that I was able to smoke things for hours on end. But there's nothing wrong with a gas barbecue. And I know a lot of purists in the grilling world would say it's not the same. There's some fantastic ones. You pay a premium for them, but you probably will end up using it more because it's just so convenient. You flick a switch, you turn it on, and within 5-10 minutes, you have 200 degrees on a grill, ready to go to flash fry anything you like.
You're making me want to go out there, but I know I won't. Give me some recipe suggestions.
Okay, Russell. So when it comes to, I'm trying to picture if this was myself and it's a day like today, I'm going to try and get one of the thickest steaks I humanly can buy.
Okay,
so I love something like a côte de bœuf, which is a beautiful ribeye steak with a bone going through it and everything. These can look intimidating. It's like you can also get the tomahawk steaks, the cowboy steaks, as they're often marketed as. These look intimidating, but they're actually relatively easy to go and cook. If you have thermometers, they really, really help as well. You can get thermometers for as little as €5. Really handy to have, especially not just for barbecues, but for your turkeys at Christmas and the likes as well. There's so many different uses for them. I would go and get one of those. There's a technique that is called reverse searing. And this is a really useful one to know. There's lots of videos on YouTube. Plenty of chefs have written about it. But the simple thing of it is you salt your steak, ideally a thick steak. So you're talking a couple of inches thick. You are salting it and putting it onto a rack and putting it into the oven, firstly, at a low temperature. So you're talking about maybe 140 degrees, 130. Then you're going to leave it in there for roughly about an hour and a bit, maybe an hour, 10, 15 minutes. It's going to look awful.
Okay,
it's going to look dreadful. It's going to look a little bit shriveled. It's going to look very grey.
Yeah.
But what you're doing is you're slowly, slowly cooking it. So the outside may look very unattractive, but the inside is going to be pink as anything. Get it to roughly, if you have a thermometer, about 65 degrees for medium. Then when you're barbecue, whether you're using charcoal or gas, it doesn't really matter. When you're ready to go, by the way, you can also do this on a frying pan too at home. You then pop this onto a hot grill and it will go ferocious. Mm. It'll be crazy. It will be fire everywhere potentially, especially if there's a bit of oil or anything around splattering about. But you will cook your steak absolutely perfect and it will have that gorgeous crust, the caramelization that you want on the outside. Mm. And as you slice it open into thin slivers, you will get that beautiful pink medium well steak in the medium ideally steak in the middle. If you're not too good at it, medium well. And that's a fantastic option that you can go for too. Another suggestion that I would always suggest to people, and people often think hot dogs and they think those frankfurters, which have a place.
Well, no, that would be my favourite, to be honest with you.
Yeah. What would you pop on it?
Oh, I mean, I'm a mustard man.
Yeah. Nice.
Mustard
sweet.
All the way.
Yeah. Very nice.
Hotter the better.
Oh, yeah. Like an English mustard, for example, is just, or an American one. The squeezy bottle of French's American mustard. Fantastic for it. A lot of butchers, one of the things so many butchers take so much pride in is their sausage making skills and the flavours that they can do. And how should I say this without sounding too crass? But during the summertime, the sausages get considerably larger because they are considering what they can do for the barbecues in particular. And they often make more ones suitable for popping in a hot dog roll. So you're not having the frankfurters that are smoked and everything like that. You're having the beautiful Irish pork minced together with lots of different flavours. And then you can have a bit of fun with the toppings as well. You don't necessarily have to keep it simple. You know, there's nothing wrong with popping into an IKEA and getting some mustard and...
some fun toppings for hot dogs.
So one of them I love is to kind of have a bit of a Mexican vibe to it. So maybe I'd get some grilled corn, put some coriander on top of that, maybe even a bit of guacamole as well in there.
Yeah.
A bit of cheese if you fancy it too. It's
Tex-Mex vibe.
Yeah, exactly. Something inspired by Chicago, if you've ever been and had those beautiful Italian beef subs in particular, the ones that are very much in the Bear on Disney Plus, that kind of vibe. So you're having like your pickled peppers, some diced tomato, bit of yellow mustard as well, the American style, and chopped onions, gorgeous. Sauerkraut, things like that as well, really work great if you're making hot dogs as well.
Yeah.
I sometimes do kind of a Danish style inspired one where I'd have lots of dill and mayonnaise and kind of have those kind of Nordic flavours with lots of pickles. It's really, I think hot dogs have so much customizability.
Yeah, they do.
When it comes to
I'm watering at the mouth now. So that you're doing it for me, Russell.
And also when you're cooking them, do keep an eye on the temperature. They're very easy to overcook, so just keep an eye on the temperature of your hot dogs to make sure you don't end up poisoning anyone on one side. Ideal temperature is 75 degrees when it comes to cooking on a grill for things like sausages in particular.
Yeah. Now we've talked about main courses and sort of sausage and steak and tomahawk steaks and all that sort of stuff, but you can also like desserts as well on barbecue. Starters, desserts, sides.
Yeah, so like, you know, when it comes to barbecuing itself, if there's elements that you can do on a barbecue, do them. But like when you're thinking of the feast as a whole, you know, you want to enjoy the meal as much as possible yourself. So you want to make sure something's cooking away while you, the chef, can still eat away. So when it comes to starters, I often just think unless it's something that you really want to cook, like maybe like a little tapas dish with some prawns, maybe in there a bit of chorizo or anything, chicken thighs and the likes. Padron peppers work so amazing as well on a grill. Unless you're doing that, just get some charcuterie, you know, sliced meats, have them on a board with a bit of cheese and enjoy them out in the garden. Desserts, there's plenty of different things you can do. You can do kind of like giant skillet style cookies. So you get a cookie dough and put them into a cast iron skillet or a suitable pan that can go on.
So barbecue cookies.
Essentially, you can do that kind of thing. I do this now. This is something
that's two of my favorite words.
Barbecue cookies. Happy days. This is something I saw years ago, and I made a TikTok which went on the Gastrogaze account years ago, and it was a Scottish s'more.
Yeah.
And it's basically a Tunnock's tea cake.
Yes.
So it's already chocolate, it's already marshmallow. Then you get two digestive biscuits, put them together after melting it over the heat of the barbecue. It's sensational.
Stop.
That's all you need. That's all you
You're
need.
Giving me a deep fried Mars bar vibe here.
Exactly. It's going to happen. It's fantastic.
Brilliant. And so dessert. Any other desserts you can think of?
I kind of think in simplicity terms when it comes to catering for as many people as possible. So I'd instantly go for an ice cream bar, for example. So like, you know, have lots of different ice creams out for people and do different customizable toppings. I think people think barbecue and you have to do everything on a barbecue. Barbecue is an excuse to gather around, an excuse to gather with friends and family and have things. And everything doesn't necessarily have to be searing over heat. But you know, it's fantastic.
I don't know if I'm antisocial or something, because all the ads at the moment on the various different supermarkets for barbecues are going, it's last chance to barbecue. Why not invite your family, friends, neighbours, even workmates over? And I'm going, what planet are they on? Who the hell is ever going to do that?
No, you've got to be sitting
the neighbors,
there with your
partner. Workmates.
The last place you want to do is cook for them.
Oh, for exactly. God's sake, like. They're, you know, they'll be looking into the back of the house. Oh, my God. Right, is that it, Russell?
That's all.
That's fantastic. Listen, thank you, Russell Alford, of the Gastrogaze fame. The Last Word with Matt Cooper. Weekdays from 4:30. Today.